But let me jump over here now to my opening comments, my right side way monologue. I'll remind you guys that Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across our overly broad listening area. Southern Immediate Care is open 7 days a week at all their locations, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care sees all ages, open 7 days a week, and they are indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. So, over the past few days, the nation has watched with like a mix of alarm and incredulity at the gall of some people, mostly petulant kids, who felt it was their right to expand their freedom of speech into something more akin to violence and rioting. As we watch the events unfold at Columbia University, UCLA, UT Austin, Emory, the University of Florida, and more, we saw students and criminals standing with masked faces, making demands of the people who were appointed to run those institutions of higher learning. Look, it's one thing to say you believe in something. It's altogether another to go full Lord of the Flies and start destroying property or making threats, harassing people, and barring students who are paying for their education to not be able to get their education. I even watched one video yesterday and it just ticked me off, as a punk with zero life experience threw his entire Starbucks latte in the face of a police officer. And nothing happened to the kid. Nothing. The officer stood there and took it, which only served to signal to the other punk standing by that somehow they were the ones with the power. I might add that several of these so-called pro-Palestine liberated zones were on public property at state-funded universities, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is the laws of every state actually prohibit what we're watching. They do. There's not a single state in this union that allows what we're watching. And yet these kids are intent on doing damage to the civil order because nobody stops them. Well, not true everywhere. You see, like in Florida, they broke it down pretty quick. When protesters set up their campsites on Florida's Plaza of the Americas, they were told in no uncertain terms, take it down and move out. They refused. So the campus administration issued a statement and said this, literally, here's what it said, quote, "We have patiently told the protesters, many of whom are outside agitators, that they are able to exercise their right to free speech and free assembly. However, the University Police Department patiently and consistently reiterated the rules, and today, individuals who refused to comply were arrested after the UPD gave multiple warnings and multiple opportunities to comply." In one more response, by the way, to an inquiry from the press, the university spokesperson said, "We are not a daycare." Yes, there it is. We are not a daycare. What a great line. And so apropos. Listen, this is the broken windows theory right here. The broken windows theory, the idea that a community that says nothing about kids who throw rocks through windows is going to wind up having a declining standard of living because the kids don't ever hear no, they grow into criminals who take more and more liberties with our actual liberties. I had an experience once in Afghanistan. My team's area of operations was in the north past the Hindu Kush Mountains. Epic snow-covered peaks, so high that the rarefied air made it nearly impossible to fly military helicopters over them. But on a few occasions, I had to come in from the field for headquarters business. And it was no small thing to get there, but on one occasion, one of my guys and I made it down, and then we got stuck. There were no air assets that could move us back north. We were locked down with my team still out there by themselves. And so after 5 days, I finally convinced my commander that if he would just give me two old Toyota pickup trucks from the motor pool, I'd just head north on my own. Now, this was no small thing, y'all, but we did it. And for quite a while, me and a few of the guys on my team, we were some of the only Americans to have traveled the entire length of that route over the Hindu Kush Mountains by way of the highest tunnel complex in the world, built by the Soviets, called the Selang Pass Tunnel. And it was high adventure, y'all, let me tell you. No interpreter, just a handful of Americans, including one intrepid reporter from the New York Times who had heard what we were doing and wanted to tag along. We passed through every war-torn village and bombed-out structure as we made our way north. But here's the deal. Here's why I'm telling you this. I will never forget one village high in the mountains. Way above the rest of the world, it seemed. Had beautiful fields of cultivated sunflowers, crops that are growing beside rushing mountain streams, little ornate stone footbridges, even traditional brown mud brick homes that stack the hillsides and perch above the streams. They all seemed like well-kept and beautiful. I told one of my guys that it was like the war had never been to that village. And it felt like we had somehow discovered the legendary Shangri-La. But you know what the real difference was? The real difference was in that particular village, the people cared. They cared enough to not live among all the debris of the lowlands. The villagers in that one little village cared, and they would not succumb to the mindset that this is just how it is. They had pride in their homes. They lived with the understanding that they could not change the world, but they could change where they lived, and it was so evident. I'd love to go back and see it again one day under different circumstances. But here's the thing. Here's my point in telling you that story. The point is that the people of any community do not have to just settle for disruption and disorder. They don't. I'm not a fan of big government and attempts by too many in office to expand the scope of government, but I can tell you that I fully acknowledge there is a role for government. And to provide for the common defense, support the general welfare, and ensure domestic tranquility, those terms are written into our founding documents. And too often right now, liberals feel that their role in various positions is just to make the life easier for the criminals and harder for the law-abiding citizens. And too often, though, the law-abiding citizens in America just become like the vast number of Afghan citizens who just accepted that they had to live among the spoils of societal upheaval. But that one village in the mountains, they got it. They knew. They did not have to settle. Listen, this is why I'm a fan of what I called a minute ago broken windows policing. It's a social science theory known as broken windows. It holds that if a window in a building is broken and not repaired, then before you know it, the rest of the windows will be broken. Just one unrepaired broken window is a signal to the community that no one cares. So breaking more windows costs nothing. There's no penalties. And that visible signs of crime, antisocial behavior, civil disorder, they create an environment that encourages more crime and disorder, eventually leads to more serious and even deadly crimes. The broken windows theory suggests that policing methods that target minor crimes like vandalism and loitering and public drinking and jaywalking and the like actually help to create an atmosphere of order and lawfulness. It was this theory, by the way, that Mayor Rudy Giuliani used to clean up New York and return it to being the jewel of the world. Just the opposite, by the way, was done by Mayor de Blasio of New York, who tore down the law and order and made it hard for tourists to want to go there now. And now we have Columbia University, where punks and thugs and racists and agitators feel emboldened to literally break the windows out of a building and rush in to occupy it, and then dare to stand out and issue demands to the university as if they have some kind of entitled right as lawbreakers to be heard on anything. Basically, the broken windows theory is that a community saying to the criminal element that disorder, crime, and violence will not be tolerated because we live here, because this is our home, because we care. When we go soft on crime, life gets hard. And you're watching college campuses right now, nationwide, reel with the effects of kids who have apparently never been effectively told no. And there are some communities that don't take kindly to it and they deal with it immediately. And then there are some who stand there and wring their hands and the broken windows stay broken. Look, you can see the effects of soft on crime policies in places like New York, Atlanta, Chicago, San Francisco, and yeah, right here in Birmingham. And for too long, the people in those great cities have just accepted the misguided notion that there's just nothing they can do. They live with it because, you know, just because. But law and order, it matters. Because law and order is about quality of life. And if a little village in the high places of Afghanistan can make itself look like a postcard, then we can do that right here at home. Because broken windows means broken lives. This is our house, and it matters. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. There you have it. Lesson learned from people in a third world country in the high mountains of the Hindu Kush who made what they had, which was not very much, look like a postcard. And yet we're down here right now putting up with prepubescent adolescents who don't have any clue about life and have no life experience, breaking windows, taking over campuses, and telling the police they have no authority. I'm telling you right now, better get a hold of it and get a hold of it soon. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.